Everyone has a story. I get them to tell it. Welcome to the Aaron Bender Podcast, conversations with media personalities about their personal and professional lives and journeys. Thank you so much for joining us. And this man is not quite a media personality in the sense where he's not in news. He's not a YouTuber or, on TikTok or anything like that. Getting there. But a couple of years ago, he was thrust into the media spotlight via tragedy. And James Alvarez, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So August 11th, 2020, and we should mention for anybody watching on YouTube or on Instagram that you are actually talking with me from the cemetery. You're visiting your wife in Orange County right now. August 11th, 2020, take me back to that day, and then we'll kind of go from there.
It was just any ordinary day that day. So I went to work and something felt off that day, but you just go throughout your life as normal. So my wife wasn't working at the time, during COVID. She worked at Disney at the time, Disneyland, and they were closed. So she would be home all day, and she was, at that time, I didn't know she was battling morning sickness. And I know that she spent some time with my in-laws, to go see them. And I remember my in-law was telling me that, she wasn't feeling well, but she was excited to see me when I would get home from work. So she rushed home. As I was coming home, we were already planning for my daughter's arrival. So part of the preparation, we're organizing her room, getting everything ready. We're even talking about drapes, what color drapes and all that. So I remember calling my wife on my way home and telling her we should check out this little store that's actually around the corner where we lived. And she thought that was a perfect idea. And I told her that, maybe we can go check it out. If we don't see anything, let's take the long way home, get our exercise. That was our normal routine, especially that she was pregnant. My wife was pregnant. She was actually 36 weeks. She was a month away from giving birth. So she was just around the corner. And her doctor was telling her, good exercise so she can have a healthy recovery and a healthy delivery. So that's what we did. Every day we would go on our normal walks. We found that time to kind of communicate, talk, see how our day was going. So it was a great bonding experience that we shared every single day on our walking journeys. So that day we decided to go check out the store. We didn't see anything that we liked. So we decided to walk a long way around the shopping center and go at a different direction to head home. We would never walk that direction. It was our first time. And I remember walking that day. And as we were walking away from the shopping center, we hear a screeching sound. And then we hear people yelling. We turned around, both of us, at the same time as we were holding hands, and we see this vehicle just swerving. It was swerving, and then all of a sudden, it loses control, and it hops onto the sidewalk, and it was still swerving, and we see this vehicle coming straight at us. At that moment, we froze. The car was going so fast, we didn't know if it was either going to hit a Taco Bell sign that was right there. We didn't know if it was going to hit the post. We had no idea where it was going, but we knew it was going towards us. We froze so fast. I remember we couldn't move. Yeah. All I remember is us turning around, holding hands and closing our eyes and bracing for that impact. I remember at that time when that vehicle was coming towards us, and as my eyes were closed, all I was thinking was this is how our life is going to end. This is it. Just pretty much, seeing our life flashed in front of us. And I can only imagine what my wife was thinking at the moment. You know, I guarantee you she was thinking about our daughter, you know, our daughter that she was carrying in her womb. And all of a sudden, I don't feel her hand anymore. And as I turn around, I see that vehicle just trample her. And I saw everything, every little detail. And to this moment, it still feels like it was yesterday. I see it so vividly. And just seeing her lay there, helpless, I tried to do CPR. I tried to do whatever I could. And I knew at that moment, I lost her. And I honestly couldn't picture losing her. Like, I felt like at that moment, it was unreal. Like, how could this actually happen? Like, how did this happen? And I literally thought that this was a nightmare. Like, I was just waiting to wake up. And I wasn't waking up. I just couldn't accept what was going on at the moment. And just seeing her there, I couldn't do anything about it. And it was, my mind was in such a different state. And I remember the ambulance finally arriving. And I was telling them, like, please, like, try to save her. If you can, like, try to save our daughter. She's 36 weeks pregnant. Please do anything possible. And at the time of COVID, I couldn't go with her.
Yeah.
Literally took her, and I was left there in her remains. Like, I remember enduring so much that day. To this day, I don't know how I got through it, you know, and I had no idea, like, what hospital she was taken to. I had no clue where she was, or her condition, or if she survived, or my daughter, anything, nothing. Finally, my in-laws arrived. We find out the hospital that she was taken to. It was the UCI Irvine.
Yeah.
And we were taken there. And right away, they take us to a small room. I knew it wasn't good news. I knew that what was about to hear was going to be tough to listen to. And the doctors just simply told us that they tried to save her. They tried to do everything possible, but because of the trauma, she didn't make it. And getting that news in front of my in-laws, and my in-laws just trying to understand what the situation at the moment, not knowing what happened, how did this accident happen, and just get to find out that they lost the younger daughter. It was the hardest thing to bear.
Where did you find that balance in that moment to let yourself be comforted, but also understand that you've got her parents here? They've just lost a daughter and you need to comfort them. Where did you find that balance?
I put my feelings aside. I put my feelings aside because I can only imagine, like, losing, you know, I can only imagine, like, losing my daughter. Like, you know, a daughter that they raised their whole life. To me at that moment, I was putting my feelings aside, but yet I felt this guilt that I was building. And I guess it's because as a husband, you know, you take that oath that no matter what you do, no matter what, you will always protect your wife. You know, that's your partner. That's your life partner that you dedicate your life now to. And as a husband, I felt like I didn't do my job well, that I wasn't able to protect her. And seeing my in-laws in that state of losing their daughter, to me, I felt worthless. I felt like I let them down. And it was the hardest feeling to go through, and to go through that pain of losing my wife. But yet I tried to be there for them. And as the time, throughout that time, her family starts showing up and getting the news of what was happening. I didn't really get that comfort that I needed. I didn't get that hug, like, hey, how are you doing? Are you okay? I know that you saw everything, that you were there at the moment. I didn't get that. I didn't get that. And I'm not saying, you know, I love them. I love their family. They've always been so good to me. But I believe it's they're going through that grief. They're going
through processing
that hurt, you know, or that news. And they're barely comprehending. At that moment, I felt alone. I felt like I didn't have that person. And that's why I fell so in love with my wife, because she was so supportive. She was there for me no matter like how I felt. But at that moment, I didn't have her. So I didn't have that person like telling me like, you know, like that you're going to be okay, or if you want to, you know, cry on. I didn't have that. I remember like just sitting in that in a staircase, just trying to comprehend, or I wasn't even understanding or registering in my head what really happened. Like I can't believe I lost my wife. Then I finally get the news that my daughter, out of midst of all this, survived. At the moment, I just didn't believe it. I was just like, wait, what do you mean? Like, she survived? Then the doctors told me that my daughter went 20 minutes with little to no oxygen due to my wife passing. So when they tried, when they failed to, you know, to save my wife, they did emergency C-section, and my daughter wasn't responding. They had to do CPR on her, and they were able to bring her to life. And she was in the NICU department trying to stabilize her vitals. When they finally did, that's when they, you know, they let me know that she was better, that she was, you know, she's fighting. And if it goes well, then I'm able to see her. This accident happened around like 7 p.m. And I remember during August, around that time is when the sun sets. So at that time now, when I was able to see my daughter, it was about almost midnight.
Yeah.
So all that time, I was going through every emotion you can think of: anger, depression, anxiety, just all emotions. I was going through it and just being anxious to waiting to see my daughter. And when I finally was able to see my daughter, it was tough. It was a bittersweet feeling that I was blessed to have my daughter, that my daughter survived. But just seeing her lay there in that bed and just have so many tubes stuck to her, it broke me. It broke me deep inside, because my daughter didn't deserve that. She didn't deserve to come into this world this way. She wasn't ready. you know, she wasn't ready to come into this world, but yet this person, this intoxicated person, brought her into this world this way. And it destroyed me, because it took everything from me. I was looking forward to this moment. I was looking forward to being with, by my wife's side, holding her hand as she was giving birth to our beautiful daughter. And that was taken away from me. I never had the chance to experience that. That was our only child. That was my first and only child. And to be taking that from me, it's been tough since now. Like, it's still tough. But I'm blessed to have my daughter. And just seeing her there, and I remember they're telling me that because of how she was born, they didn't know what side effects she would have.
Right.
They don't know, like, how she would grow up, if she will have, like, long-lasting issues. And I just said to myself, like, how much can I bear? Like, how much, like, bad news, like, do I have to receive? Like, I got through so much losing my wife, seeing my daughter in her condition. Like, what else, like, life can throw at me? Like,
yeah.
And just, I guess just seeing my daughter there. And I think that's where I got my strength from. Seeing my wife and my daughter, like, just, she's my little warrior, because she fought for her life, you know, like, against all odds. She overcame them. Like, I remember the doctors were telling me that it would be months that she would be released. And then they were, like, telling me that they were so surprised by, like, how she was recovering so fast, that they were amazed by her strength. You know, they were telling me that in a week I could probably take her home. I mean, you're talking about, she only lasted 3 days being in a ventilator. Like, she was breathing on her own. She had jaundice because of being premature.
Yeah.
She overcame that. You know, anything that was happening, like, she was overcoming. Like, she was thriving. And she was, I can see her, like, fighting for her life. And my daughter, like, right there and then, like, taught me the biggest lesson that I'll never, ever forget. That if she's able to fight for her life, then I can fight for my own. And that's where I found the strength to continue going. Seeing my daughter there, like, I needed her. And I'm just thankful to my wife that she gave her life to save my daughter, to save my life. Because now, with having my daughter in my life, like, has helped me move forward. It has helped me become the man that I am today. And just, you know, be able to take her home and, you know, seeing her grow now. She's 17 months now. You know, seeing her walk, seeing her, like, so healthy, so smart, and so energetic. Like, to me, I'm blessed. I'm blessed to have her. And many people say it's, like, that she's blessed to have a great father like that she has. But I always say, no, I'm blessed to have a beautiful daughter in my life. Because of her, I'm able to be that great father that I could possibly be. And the most important thing is that I want to make my wife proud. She gave her life. Then it's my responsibility. And I'm going to commit to making sure that I can give the best life to my daughter, no matter what. You know, and trust me, it's been tough as a single father. It's been tough. And you know, you being a single father yourself, it's tough. It's it's definitely tough, but these were the cards that I was dealt with, and I have to make the best of it. And, you know, for me, it's quitting is not an option. And, you know, I'm going to keep pushing forward and making sure that my daughter has everything in that she ever needs and wants. And at this moment, I'm just dedicating my life to her.
A lot to unpack. It really is. A lot of the things that you're saying, I feel like I've said at least a few times to other people, if not just to myself, and in conversations with God. I want to ask about your faith prior to this and since then. How has it changed, and how have the conversations with God changed over the last couple of years?
I'm truly blessed to have the chance to marry my wife, because my wife, God rest her soul, she made me a better man. Because of her, I'm able to raise my daughter very well because of her. You know, she always had a strong belief in faith in God. You know, because of her, we would pray every single day. It's not something that I would do often, and I'll be honest. But because of her strong belief in God, that's something that we shared. You know, we would always pray, especially for our daughter, and that grew my strength and my faith. And when this happened, I was never angry at God for what has happened. And it made me remind me of a thing that I would always tell my wife all the time, that you have to see the positive in every situation, no matter how bad it is. You have to see the positive in everything. And I guess at that moment, like, I realized, like, the chances that I could be angry, mad at God, I can't. Maybe there's a reason why this happened. And maybe I don't know yet. Maybe one day I will. But until then, I just have to count my blessings. Just be thankful that I have my daughter. And my faith has gone stronger. You know, I always, like, I guess I'll tell you, like, a little side story. When the accident happened, I was afraid of going home. I don't know why. I was just afraid of going home, maybe seeing her there, maybe because of the guilt that I felt that I couldn't protect her. It literally took me like 2 or 3 days to finally get home. And I went home because I just didn't have any clothes, and I had to go get clothes. And I remember walking in that door, and I always remember her, like, always coming home to her and always finding her laying on her bed, on her phone, excited to see me. And I guess, like, walking in there and seeing that empty bed, like, it hit me so hard. And I remember, like, just bawling, and this voice was telling me in my head, like clear, like her voice telling me, like, why it took so long to come home. She's been waiting for me all this time. And at that moment, I felt so, so bad. I guess she knew, like, exactly what was, like, going through. And I was running away from my feelings, but she was there with me this whole time. I just couldn't see that. And when I heard her say that, like, I literally, like, talked to her. I'm like, I know you're telling me this. I know you're here with me. I know that you're, like, I just can't see you, but I know you're there. I'm sorry for taking this time, this long to finally come home to you. I know you're always going to guide me, but I want to feel your presence. I want to know, like, that you're there with me. Like, it could be anything. You can, it could be a cold breeze. It could be any sound you make. Like, just show me that you're there with me. And I just felt her presence. Like, I just felt her hug. And she knew that, like, exactly what I was going through. It, I guess, is what I needed the most. I needed to feel that, to know that I was going to be okay. And since that moment, I always talk to her. I always talk to God. I always talk to her. Any decision that I make, anything that I'm struggling with, I always try to talk to her. I always try to ask her, like, what she would do in that situation, or what should I do? And I always get this answer, like, she's telling me. So I hear her all the time, and I'm able to make those right decisions, you know? And I guess just through this whole experience, you know, my faith has grown stronger. You know, I'm a big believer now of things happen for a reason, and such a beautiful community that has reached out to me. And, you know, I remember at the time when losing my wife and being on the news and people reaching out to me and telling me how much they've been praying for me and how much they were praying for my daughter. And I believe that now with prayer, I believe that anything is possible. You know, I believe that with everybody praying for my daughter, she was able to overcome anything that she was facing. And I'm just truly blessed to have such a beautiful community that continue praying for me, and I'm just truly thankful, and because of them and because of family and everybody, I could say that, you know, my faith has become even stronger.
You talked about that roller coaster of emotions the night at the hospital, hearing the news that your wife had passed, hearing the news also that your daughter had survived, and going through all of those emotions, and here, you know, we are nearly a year and a half later. We're both crying and showing our emotions and letting ourselves be vulnerable with each other. Is this something that you would have allowed for yourself before this? Or has this kind of thrust you into the position where it's like, you know what? I'm just going to let it out because that's how it is for me. Like, I know it doesn't do me any good. And this was her teaching. This was my wife's teaching me and training me, as you talk about, to be a better man. You know, basically looking at me, like, you got to feel everything. You can't just try to feel happiness and nothing else, because you have to feel the whole spectrum of it. Without one color, there is no rainbow. Without one emotion, there are no other emotions. Is this something that, where you would have allowed yourself to feel all these things beforehand, or because of this tragedy and because you're thrust into this situation, you've evolved into this?
I would say I was never a person to, you know, show my emotions. I always, you know, in a sense, kept to myself. With this experience, it has made me evolve, you know, to open up, to just let it all out, to be okay to be vulnerable. And I feel that it's been good for me. It's a way for me to grieve. You know, I never had really the chance to grieve as I would love to. You know, at that time, everything was happening so fast, you know, preparing for my daughter's arrival, seeing her at the hospital, you know, checking up on her, see she was okay, and then prepare for my wife's funeral. And then, you know, family, you know, going through the loss, you know, it was so much going on. I didn't have time to really grieve. I was so busy. Like, I would wake up and go see my daughter, see she was okay, come home, prepare for, you know, the funeral, get everything arranged, and, you know, seeing with family and doing prayers. And it was so much that I didn't have that time to myself. And when I would see my daughter, I made sure that I didn't show my emotions. I tried to be happy. I tried to show her that everything was okay. I felt that, you know, as a baby, they're sponges. So any emotions that you bring to the table, they'll observe. And I didn't want that. I didn't want her to grow up with that depression or that sadness or that anger that I had. I didn't want to affect her life. So I made sure that when I was around her, I'm always positive. I'm always happy. I'm always, you know, showing her, you know, the good emotions, you know, and I want her to grow up that way. And I believe that to this day, you know, she hasn't really felt, you know, what I really do feel inside. And it is hard. It's hard to not be able to show my true emotions to her, but it's something that I have to do for her sake. For my sake, I would find those times, you know, I would, when I was driving, I would put my wife's favorite music. You know, she was so much into indie rock. Her favorite group was Coldplay. I would listen to Coldplay, and I was never, you know, I would never be a person to that group. But because of my wife, you know, I kind of grew into it. And then now, you know, having those as her last memories, like, those songs really hit me and they would get to me. And I remember I would listen to the songs and I would just cry, like, oh my gosh, like the waterworks. And I would probably think that people would see me and probably thought I was crazy or whatever, but I didn't care. I found those times of being vulnerable, letting my feelings out, and to a point that it wasn't affecting my personal life, my connection with my daughter. I try not to let that affect me in that kind of level. You know, at night, you know, I remember at night, like when my daughter would fall asleep, I would do the same. I'll put my headphones on and just listen to her music and just cry and cry and cry and cry. So I always try to find those times to grieve and let everything out so it doesn't get bottled in and be able, and one day explode, you know, with, yep, in front of my daughter. So it's definitely has changed my perspective of life. You know, I'm a person now that I don't care. Like, I don't care, like, if I cry in public or, you know, I just break down randomly. That's just, you know, in a sense of just me letting my feelings out and being vulnerable. And it's okay. So, yeah, it has changed me to a different person. And, you know, it's definitely has helped me.
And one of the things that my wife told me and that I've tried to do with my daughters that I would just pass along to you is that it's okay for her to see you cry, because then it lets her know that it's okay for her to cry. Because as she gets older, I mean, 17 months, there's no way she could grasp or understand, even if you told her exactly what happened. She'd have no idea what you're saying. Like, she have no idea what you're talking about. But as she gets older, she's going to know that something's missing. She's going to know that something's off. And if she sees you cry, she's going to at least from my experience, she's going to know that it's okay for her to cry. And then that will be something that you could bond over together.
Absolutely. Yeah. I believe, yeah, you make a great point. And I think it's, you know, it will be to the point that I will open up. You know, I know that that day will come when she's going to ask, you know, what happened to her mommy. Because yep. she already senses that. I have pictures of my wife everywhere. And she always says, mama, mama, mama. And she always points a picture of my wife, you know, and I always remember like the videos that I make, you know, the collages that I make,
right.
Whoever follows me on Instagram, you know, they could see like, you know, anything I do, I try to dedicate it to my wife. And, you know, her birthday just recently passed. And I always show her videos of like, you know, when we would date. And when we're like married, or you know, when we went to our honeymoon, so my daughter sees that.
Yeah,
so
this is mommy, right?
This is mommy. Like, this is, you know, it's not, you know, maybe at first it was like, who's this woman? Like, when my dad, like, you know, but now she understands. Like, hey, no, this was mommy. Like, this was the person that, you know, my daddy was with. You know, so she always calls her out. You know, and I recently just recorded her like just her playing, and then all of a sudden like she says, mommy, mommy, and looks up, and I know like she sees her. Like, I know that my wife, like, in a way, like, visits my daughter, you know. So I know that my daughter knows who her mommy is. But like you said, maybe she's still too young to understand or what was going on, and I know that moment will come. Which you will ask. That's why I've been preparing myself. Like I said, everything that I do, I always try to dedicate my wife. It's not more of just like showing the world like who she was, but it's more of like a way for me to save those moments for my daughter. When she gets older, I can show her those videos. I can show her, you know, those memories that I've been saving. You know, I saved my wife's phone, and you know, saved all her pictures. I listened to her, you know, I saved all her like playlist, so then one day, you know, she can listen to what my wife was into, you know, her mommy, what she loved to listen to. And I hope that my daughter will grow up with that sense of like, you know what, I lost my mommy, I never had the chance to meet her, but through these outlets I'm able to know or get a sense of who she was.
Yeah.
And I saved everything. I saved all her clothes. I saved all her shoes, all her makeup. I know makeup goes, you know, they have expertise.
I'm doing the same thing. I'm like, how long does this last? How long can I keep this here?
Yeah, exactly. See, it's my wife, you know, like anything that she was into, she got me into it. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm, you know, and I'm not trying to say like, I always try to be the great husband. I always try to be that perfect husband for her, you know? So I would be like, yeah, let's go to Sephora, you know, even though like I had no clue, but you know, I was there lending my hand for her to swab, the different colors and see which one she loved. You know, I was that guy, you know, I was that guy to hold her purse, you know, and stuff like that. But I saved all those moments, you know, I saved those. So for my daughter, you know, she had my wife. She had this vanity set that she loved, and I saved it, and I saved it just for her to have one day. You know, then she could see what my wife was into, like what was her favorite colors, you know, her favorite tones,
yeah.
You know, her favorite brands that she would love to use. So then she has that sense of her mommy. And I try to do everything like that. I even created an email list that's still available, you know? So if any listeners know about my story and would love to kind of share their opinion or their feelings of how my story impacted theirs, you know, they can totally write an email. That email is just for my daughter. So it's, it's called Letters to Adeline at Gmail. And it's pretty much emails of family, friends, colleagues, co-workers at my, that anybody that knew my wife,
right,
had the chance to write an email and explaining my wife. So then my daughter got that sense of, she won't even know, like, just my perspective on how my wife was.
That's a great idea.
She has the opportunity to know my wife's, how she was at work, how she was around her friends, at school. So she has that opportunity to get a whole spectrum of her mommy and how she and her personality, not just in my eyes, but not in other people. So I created that email for her. So when she's old enough to read them, she can go through those emails and get that sense of her mommy. So those are the things that I've been doing in trying to save for that moment to come when she does ask, what happened to her mommy? I'm able to show her and talk to her and really be open to her, you know, and just really let my emotions out and be able to let her know that it is okay to feel those emotions, to be able to be vulnerable, you know, and I was too. And, you know, any interview that I do, I just let it all out. I don't hold anything back. So I can, you know, I can show that, hey, like, I'm human too, you know, and we're all human and we all go through these emotions and it's okay. It's okay to be yourself.
You talked about guilt, and that's something that still gets me to this day and probably will for the rest of my life. The idea that, at least in my situation, the better person died. The better person is not here to raise these two girls. Now, my survivor's guilt is vastly different from yours in terms of the means by which we got there. You know, I had months to prepare. She had months to prepare. The family, you know, we had help every day in some way, shape, or form as my wife fought breast cancer and as it, you know, spread throughout her body. We had months to prepare. You had, the only thing you were preparing for was for a child to come into the world. The guilt that you describe, if you could just kind of define it in those days and weeks after compared to today, and also forgiveness. Have you forgiven yourself, and how often do you have to forgive yourself?
I think it was the toughest battle that I faced. That grief, you know, of just, I was playing scenarios in my head constantly. Like I didn't sleep. I think not even on top of just, you know, a newborn, you know, how often they wake up in the middle of the night, you know, battling that. But when I had the time and I had the help from family, you know, sometimes they would, you know, watch her so I can get some rest. And I couldn't sleep still. Yeah. And it was that guilt that I was facing. And the guilt that I was facing was decisions that I made that led to that scenario. You know, I didn't protect her as a husband, you know, like, you know, maybe I shouldn't have been a gentleman and walked closer to the street. Maybe I should have just walked the opposite, you know, side. Maybe, you know, I could have been the one getting hit and she could have survived. You know, I know that she would have been, you know, at the time I was like, I know she would have done a better job than me, you know, raising our daughter. And like you said, you know, like losing the better half of you, you know, like I lost someone so amazing. And to this day, you know, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be as amazing as she was. And all those things like played in my head, and it was killing me inside, you know, all that guilt, you know, maybe I should have, you know, We should have not gone to that store. We should have not gone the long way around, you know, going back home. Maybe we should have went a different direction. Maybe I should have stayed a little longer at that store. You know, maybe we shouldn't even have gone walking. Maybe we should have just stayed home. You should have maybe been lazy and do nothing. And this would not have happened. You know, all those scenarios was playing in my head and it was killing me because it's like, oh, I should have pulled her close to me. I should have done this. I should have done that. And it was destroying me. I guess it's just people like letting me know that it wasn't my fault, you know? And I guess kind of backtrack a little bit. What didn't help much was, you know, like I said, I love my wife's family and, you know, I don't discuss this much, but there was a time that I had that sense like they were kind of blatant. I wouldn't say my in-laws, but it was some of her family was kind of like blaming me that I could have done something better to save her life. And that really got to me. You know, that really got to me because if I would have been able to do anything to save my wife's life, you best believe I would do it. Best believe that I would happily trade my life to save her life. You know, I would rather her be here alive with my daughter and be able to experience our beautiful daughter than I. You know, I would have done anything possible. And that got to me. Like, that really got to me because I couldn't do anything about it. And yet, I felt like I was being blamed for that. And like I said, like, it took me a while. It took me a lot of people to tell me that it wasn't my fault. It was this woman that was driving intoxicated that made that decision, being selfish, knowing the fact that she wasn't there. Intoxicated, decides to get in the vehicle and drive wherever she was going and take my wife's life. And not even on top of that, having multiple DUI charges and still not learning her lesson and still decide to get in behind a wheel and just take my wife's life. That's the person that I should be blaming for. And it took me a long time to understand that it wasn't my fault, that it was actually that woman's fault, that her decision caused this to happen. And now the state of mind that I am, I'm understanding that. You know, I'm not blaming myself. I'll admit, you know, sometimes I do get flashes of like, man, I wish I could have done this. You know, she would have been still alive with me. You know, we would have been raising our daughter happily. You know, like those kind of those times, I would say, you know, with my daughter, you know, when I'm experiencing something beautiful, you know, when I'm taking her out and she's experiencing something new, you know, those are the moments that hits me. It was like, man, if I would have done this differently, she would have been here with us. You know, she would have been enjoying this moment. And I think that's what gets to me, those flashes. Yeah. But I'm in a better state of mind in that sense of I'm not blaming myself. You know, it's that woman's fault, you know, and my in-laws already telling me, it's like, look, that woman took everything from us. She's at fault. She's the one responsible for this, not you, you know? So, you know, my in-laws, they've been so supportive, you know, they understand, you know, what I'm going through and I'm blessed to have them in my life as well. And yeah, I'm just in a better state of mind right now, you know? So it was pretty bad in, you know, when it happened, but I started to learn and understand that it wasn't my fault.
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. And that's that for somebody in my position who prior to my wife getting sick, I wasn't present. Like I wasn't mentally and emotionally connected and present as I should have been. And the process of her being sick and her enduring that pain while also trying to kind of coach me up to be a better man and a better father, just kind of helped teach me, much like what you've had to learn, is that we really ultimately don't have control over what happens beyond what we do, like our actions and our reactions. That's it. That's totally it. And like, I have to practice surrender and forgiveness on a daily basis, sometimes multiple times a day, sometimes multiple times an hour. Like, I don't have to beat myself up every single time I remember the pain that she went through, you know, watching the nurses and doctors try to save her life when she stopped breathing and when she's in the ICU and all these things. And just practicing forgiveness is huge. And it is a practice, because it's never perfect. You're never going to get it perfect. You're going to have days where it's like, oh no, this is one of those days where I just am going to beat myself up all day. It's just one Correct. Of those days.
Oh yeah, I agree. I think it's what I learned. It's not what happens. It's what happens after what defines us.
Yeah,
you know. And I feel like it's easy. It's easy to just give up. It's easy to just be like throw in the towel and just, you know, and let life go by. But I didn't want that. I didn't want that. Like I said, for me, giving up is not an option. You know, like I have a beautiful daughter that gonna look up to me, and I need to be strong. I need to be strong. I need to, like you said, don't let these feelings beat me up, you know? And that's exactly what I try to do. I didn't want to let these feelings get the best of me. You know, I want my daughter to, you know, look, maybe one day look back and see like, how strong I was, you know, how I was able to endure what I endured and be able to thrive and push her to be better, you know? And I hope that, you know, she can look back at my experience and just be like, look, I want to be strong as dad. You know, I want to be as strong as mommy. You know, she gave up her life, and, you know, and I want to be proud of my parents. And that's exactly like the mindset that I changed, you know, like I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to let these feelings get the best of me. I'm going to do something good out of this, you know? And I keep having that mindset. But yes, I mean, there is those moments of vulnerability, you know, those moments that you're just like, you kind of blame yourself for it a little bit, you know, but yeah, it's kind of those things that it's like, you just need to remember, like, it was out of your control, and what you could do now is just, you know, you can't change the past no more. You know, the only thing you can change is the future. So we have the opportunity to change the future and where we're heading to. And, you know, and I feel that biggest lesson that I learned too is not to hold on. You know, it's what I learned is carry my wife's legacy, but in a sense of not holding on so close to not be able to let her go, you know, like not in a sense of like letting her rest in peace, you know? And as long as I carry her legacy, I always remember her, you know, that's how she's able to live, you know, rest in peace and be able to, you know, carry on. And that's something that I learned so much, you know, it's to be able to let go, but not forget them. You know, you have to find that balance.
Yeah. I mean, it's the idea, like, if you carry her within you, you can walk as James Alvarez. If you are walking around and you're trying to carry that legacy and it's actually physically on you, weighing on you, you can't be you. You can't move like you. You can't live like you. But if you carry her within and you have her with you and next to you, then you could move as you and you could live as you and grow as you.
Correct. Exactly. Correct. So I feel that, you know, if you carry their legacy, they're able to live forever.
Yeah.
But you have to find that way of carrying their legacy, you know, and be able to understand that, look, they're gone. They're no longer with us. But if we keep them here, they're there with us, you know, like, I guess, you know, I'm understanding that, look, I can't see her no more, but she's there with me.
Yep.
I just can't see her. I feel her. I sense her, you know, that she's talking to me, that she's there guiding me. You know, I know that she's visiting my daughter constantly, you know, and I'm okay with that. You know, like, I'm okay with, you know, with those moments, you know, as long as I'm able to carry her inside. And she's always living with me, you know, so yeah. It's finding that balance. It's you know, it's better for you emotionally. It's better for them emotionally as well, you know, like, because if you hold on to them too much, if you're just in a sense of like, just can't let them go, or the sense that they're no longer with us physically, then, you know, you're kind of in a sense like destroying yourself too. You know, you're not healing, you know, you're still living in that moment of that pain. It's that pain, it's always going to be there. You know, that pain will never go away. I mean, as day goes by, it gets better. You know, I feel like it does get better. You know, you take life a moment at a time, but that pain will never fully go away. But we learn to live with that pain.
Yeah.
That pain evolves. Somebody was telling me that pain evolves as you evolve, but that pain never goes away. And it's true. It's true.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always going to have that feeling of like, man, I wish my wife was here, or man, I miss my wife. You know, like, there's times that I see my daughter and she looks just like her.
Oh, I know.
You know, that's there, right? You know, yeah. You know, yeah. Exactly how, what you're feeling. And like, or the things that they do, like, it's just their character. It's like they're reincarnated,
yeah,
in their, yeah, body, you know? And you kind of sit back and you're like, that was like my wife right there,
yep,
you know?
Yep.
And it hits you. You're just like, oh, you know, like, it hits you like deep in here, you know? But I think those are the moments that you live for, you know? Those are the why you have children, or why you want to, you know, have children with your significant others, to carry, you know, your a part of you, a part of them,
yeah,
you know, along, you know. So seeing my daughter, it's like, it's half of her, it's half of my wife. So obviously, you know, I look forward to those moments now. I look forward to her personally come out, you know, and I already sense that. You know, I already sense my wife's personality. You know, yeah, my wife's personality, it was, she was tough, you know, and she was a person that, she was brutally honest. Like, she will let you know, even if it can hurt your feelings, she don't care, but she believed that honesty is the best policy, you know, and that's how she was. And my daughter, she gets that sometimes. She tells it how it is, you know, like, just by her actions. I mean, obviously she doesn't talk right now. She's doing baby talk, but yeah, just her actions, she lets you have it. And she has a little, my wife was also like a little firecracker, you know, like, she was fast fuse, but she was out quick, you know?
Yeah.
And my daughter's the same way, you know, she gets so angry, but yet like 2 seconds later, she's happy again. And I love seeing that. I love seeing that. And I look forward to like more, you know, of that personality come out and just be more of like, man, that was my wife right there. That was her, you know? And,
yeah,
and I'm just blessed.
Well, and thanks to the algorithms on Instagram and TikTok, you know, I kind of go down the grief rabbit hole, and I think the most impactful thing I saw, just to kind of put a bow on the idea of growing with grief, is that grief never really gets smaller. It's just that we grow around it.
Correct.
So just to kind of put a bow on that and kind of put that into perspective, James, you have spent so much more time with me than I could have ever asked for. You've been hanging out there at the cemetery with Yesenia, and I am praying for you. I am praying for her. I'm praying for Adeline and all your family. Thank you to Erica Marietta from the Having a Ball podcast for helping set this up. And if James, somebody wants to get a hold of you, and you already mentioned the email for letters to Adeline at gmail.com, A-D-A-L-Y-M. We'll put that in the show notes. How can people get a hold of you or follow you on social media?
Yeah, so I love to share my story. I love to share my just my whole life. You know, I believe that a lot of people were so supportive since day one of the accident happening. And I'm just truly blessed for the community. And I feel like the least thing I can do is that with all their energy, all their prayers, all the help that they gave me, you know, that it's getting put to good use. And by doing that, it's showing like how well my daughter's growing, you know, how well I'm doing, you know, and I just want to, you know, give back to the community in a way of like showing that, hey, even though this happened to me, I'm able to thrive. I'm able to be happy. And most of all, like, enjoy life with my daughter, you know, and a lot of people love to see how my daughter and I interact, you know. So I do have an account in every platform. I do have a YouTube channel. I haven't launched any videos yet because, as you know, it's hard to edit, especially when you have children and yep. you're doing it full time, taking care of your little one. It's definitely hard to edit, but I'm working little by little. I should be launching some videos soon. My YouTube, it's called Adventures with Adeline and James. And that's pretty much is a daddy blog. So it's just pretty much showing the community how I raised my daughter, all the fun activities that I've been doing with my daughter. So it's kind of like a little behind the scenes. So everybody gets to see, you know, my connection and my fun adventures with her. So, and then you can also contact me through Instagram. I'm really active on Instagram. So it's _ James Alvarez. That was my wife's. She gave me that username. So that's how it's spelled. So it's _ James Alvarez. So you can follow me there on Instagram. Also, I am on TikTok. You know, I had to catch the trends, you know, everybody on TikTok. So I do have TikTok. I do some fun videos with my daughter. And my username for TikTok is James L, as in Lewis, Alvarez. So you can follow me there on TikTok. I'm also on Snapchat. Snapchat, the same thing. So it's James L. Alvarez. Okay. Snapchat, usually I, you know, post a video daily of her and what we're doing at the day, at the moment. So you can follow me there as well. You can message me there. Facebook as well. So I just created a page. It's James Alvarez. And you can, you know, like the page, follow my page.
Nice.
Because, you know, Facebook is limited on friends. So yeah. I created that kind of business page, but it's a sense of anybody can follow me in my journey. So, yeah, you can contact me there. You know, I'm always happy to connect with people. If anybody wants to share their personal, you know, stories or, you know, let me know. Just anything, you know, I'm always open. I always love meeting new people. And I'm a person that if somebody's going through a struggle and I'm able to give them some advice, then I'll be more than willing to give them that advice and, you know, kind of be able to help them.
James, thank you, man. I really appreciate this. It's been a great conversation. Thanks for your time.
Oh, thank you so much. I love what you're doing. I love the platform that you're using and be able to connect with people. I think it's great. I think as a community, you know, we all lost someone, and especially during this pandemic and you know, we are this dark times that we're going through. You know, we all can relate, you know, even though the scenarios, the stories are different. But what's relatable is the pain that we went through of losing someone. So we all know that pain. So I think it's beautiful to be united, to have that community that we can rely on someone that maybe hasn't gone through the same exact scenario,
Right.
But know the pain that we're going through of losing someone significant in our lives. So I think it's a beautiful thing that you're doing, and a great opportunity for other people to connect or share or I would say, you know, learn from each other's stories and pain.
I appreciate you sharing your story, man. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you. God bless. Hope we do this again.